This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Consider the modern American grocery store. Aisles and aisles of almost every product you can think of. Really kind of a miracle of logistics and of productivity and of consumer choice. And now in this virus economy, it has to be said, not without hazard for those consumers and especially those grocery store workers. There is more, though, to how the grocery industry really operates in this country than meets the eye, and that is the story that Benjamin Lohr tells in his new book. It's called The Secret Life of Groceries. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Total pleasure.
It's good to have you on. I want to know, I want to know a lot of things, because this is it's kind of a disquieting book, but you start with a scene, as it were, of the fish counter at Whole Foods, where you had taken a job to, you know, do research for this book. And you talk about the cleanup at night, and you say it's, in essence, the perfect metaphor for the grocery business. And I need you to explain that.
Yes, it is an arresting image and metaphor, olfactory more than anything. Essentially, the whole fish counter at Whole Foods is glamorous. It is hygienic and clean in appearance and hygienic and clean in results. However, every month or so, we would be asked to clean it. And by the time you got to the bottom, the debris of the retail surface had fallen down there. This being fish, it smelled horrendous. And to me, that dichotomy, that difference between what was on the retail surface and what you're presented with as a consumer and the underbelly beneath it of these rotting fish guts really was an apt way of thinking about the grocery store itself and the way the consumer experience sometimes masks things less savory underneath.
Let's dig into that a little bit, because there's a bunch of great threads to pull in this book. One of them is how tough it is for food entrepreneurs, people doing food startup-y things, to get a foothold, especially now that the big food companies are getting bigger. And the thing, obviously, that happened while you were reporting this book was Amazon buying Whole Foods.
Yeah. So that was I think a lot of us walk around in our head with this idea, oh, I make a great guacamole. If I ever took the time, I'd be able to like put it in a bottle and it would do gangbusters. And that was not the case. I followed around a really hardworking, intelligent woman named Julie Boucher, who is marketing kind of a quirky product, salsa, a combination coleslaw and salsa. Mm. And she was caught in a grind. It was really the biggest hurdle she faced. One of the biggest hurdles was the grocery store itself, which was operating far more like a landlord leasing out space and constantly coming after her for payments for appearing in the store rather than as like a neutral platform to sell the best, most interesting condiments.
It doesn't sound like a landlord. It sounds like a strong arm. I mean, right?
Yeah. And actually, probably the most common of these are slotting fees, which is just a cash payment for inches on the shelf. But they, you know, it does come in other means like free cases of food or just ticky-tacky fees like in-store promotional radio networks that they pledge that you'll be able to be advertised on, which of course is going to do nothing for your sales, but is rocket fuel to their bottom line when you pay them some amount of cash and then they let you in to the store.
Before I go on, did you try this salsa stuff?
I did. And it was delicious. Okay. I wouldn't feature any product that I thought was horrendous.
Fair enough. All right. So look, let's get to where we are today with grocery stores, right? Because we know the pandemic has changed supply chains. It has made life more difficult for grocery workers, not that they needed life to be more difficult. Do you imagine that these changes are at least semi-permanent? I mean, what's your guess over the next like year as this virus plays out?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we had all these flash changes where everyone went and built their little bomb shelter pantries of canned goods and then went into like some national home ec moment where we all made sourdough together. Those are obviously temporary changes. What I think is more permanent is this just accelerated the transfer to online that was already happening, but now has happened in a material way and was going to happen in a structural way where dark stores, which is the industry term for stores that aren't customer facing, don't have a retail floor, but exist to stock goods and fulfill online orders are going to come on in a much more real way. Of course, that's going to have effects on labor, that that is all too often out of sight, out of mind.
It's a book called The Secret Life of Groceries, The Dark Miracle of the American Supermarket. Benjamin Lohr wrote it. Ben, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you so much. It was a real pleasure.
We've got an excerpt from Ben's book on our website about some of the inventions that made modern grocery stores possible. You can check that out at marketplace.org.